Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. I am thrilled to have as a guest this week on Talk Nation Radio, Robert Shetterly. Robert is an extraordinary visual artist, a painter of a series of portraits called Americans Who Tell the Truth. And if you want to see the visual aspect as we are on the radio, you will want later on to go to AmericansWhoTellTheTruth.org. Robert Shetterly, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Oh, thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be talking with you.
It is terrific to have you on, and the work you have done is tremendous. What were you doing with your life before you began painting this incredible series of American heroes and activists and whistleblowers? How did you get to this point?
Well, that's a good question. I guess I was practicing to be what I am now, but I'm a self-taught artist. I had lived in the woods in Maine for many years, both doing sort of back to the land living and also teaching myself to draw and paint. Finally got to the point where I was good enough to establish a career and a voice based on my artwork, and I was really a surrealist. I mean, my pictures were all about ambiguity and mystery, which I thought was what I really should be painting about. But, you know, as you know, shortly after the 9/11 attacks, our government started the rhetoric about attacking Iraq, and I don't know if I've ever felt quite so alienated from this country as I did at that moment. I mean, I had gone through the Vietnam War and all these other incursions and attacks in various places and was aware of the lies that went with them and all that stuff, but it suddenly occurred to me that I had to take whatever talent I had and try to be a better citizen with that. I mean, use the thing that I do best, which is paint, and see if I could get a voice at this moment to stand up and defy what our government and our media were allowing to happen. And it never really occurred to me that it would get to the point where it is now, that I would be, you know, the portraits would be traveling all over the country and I would get opportunities to speak in schools and colleges and libraries and museums about them and about history and ethics and citizenship. That part happened, you know, in a kind of wonderful way.
Well, we are all beneficiaries. Had you chosen to hide under your bed or move to Canada, we would be short an incredible body of work. For people who haven't seen these portraits, talk about what size they are, what medium, and what they look like.
Sure, they are painted on wooden panels that are 36 by 30 inches vertical, and I paint with acrylic, which I've always liked doing, and then the portrait is not just the portrait. It's the portrait plus a quote from the person that I painted scratched into the surface of it. And David, we probably should say for transparency here that just recently I finished a portrait of you, which is very exciting for the project and for me to have your portrait in this, because I've admired your work so much for so long. So one of the reasons I chose to put the quotes on the portrait is to stop people, to make them think, so that they don't just look at the portrait as an artwork and in a traditional way that people look at portraits and think about the color, the technique, the way the person is looking at you or not. What I wanted to do was have almost every portrait looking right at you with some deep sincerity and integrity, and then the quote, so that you stop and then are aware of why that person is looking at you like that, why I chose to paint the person, and then implicit in that, in the look and in the quote, is, you know, the appeal to do something in response, to read what this says, look at this person, and then try to do something of your own in terms of engagement.
I'm holding in my hands this wonderful book that's a collection of many of the portraits, called also Americans Who Tell the Truth, and on the cover are all these detailed close-ups of the eyes and the face around the eyes in the portraits, and with a few exceptions, they're all staring straight at me, and they all look like they are thinking something serious. And I should second your comment on my portrait, because on March 18th, we had an event in Washington, D.C., where you unveiled a portrait of me, and we also talked about the 10-year anniversary of the shock and awe in Baghdad, and it was a terrific event in terms of bringing together activists and supporting each other and talking about what we can do for the next 10 years. But it was also an incredibly beautiful portrait and honor for me to have such a work of art created about me, but also to be in that collection of people that you've chosen to so honor. And I even mentioned at that event that a Nobel Peace Prize, a Congressional Medal of Honor, nothing would put me in the sort of club that I would want to be in. And in fact, there are many individuals in those other clubs I would hesitate seriously to be willing to join. But the people that you've chosen, some of whom I knew nothing about until I read about them on your website, are all, I mean, it's many of them are living, many of them I know, many are friends, many have been dead for many years, and there are certainly people I've had disagreements with on particular tactics of activism, but these are far and away the people who do good from my point of view. And so I'm very interested in how you chose them, who's in and who's out with this club.
Well, I mean, when I say Americans who tell the truth, I usually like to talk about that a little bit, because what I don't presume to know is any great metaphysical truth. I'm simply taking the truths that are in primarily our Declaration of Independence as the truths around which we said we were organizing a political society, and saying those are our truths. And then I'm also assuming that we all understand that if we don't at least attempt to tell each other the truth, we can't solve problems. We can't trust each other. And then we have to go to the cause of issues, be willing to tell the truth about what is really causing a problem, and try to solve that rather than treat symptoms all the time by reforming a society or a situation which is corrupt enough or far gone enough that if we keep just doing that, nothing's really going to change. And then we just have to tell each other honest stories about who we are, what we've done as flawed, humble human beings like other people in the world, and then go about our business of trying to do better. I mean, we don't know who we are if we don't tell ourselves the real story. And so these are, basically, I'm trying to assemble a cast of characters, of people who have, I think, worked very hard with great courage, sometimes given up their lives, to make this country be the country it claims to be. And it's as simple as that, really. You know, those are our ideals. That was our promise. Who actually did the work, you know, to try to make us live up to our own ideals? The problem for me in doing this is that, you know, for every person I paint, there are 100 more whom I don't paint. And I'm trying to cast as wide a net as possible. I mean, why you would say, well, there are, you know, a lot of people in here I know. There are people I've disagreed with on tactics, et cetera. But, you know, what I'm trying to do is bring people who are basically trying to go in the same direction, you know, together. And if there are people about workers' issues, and children's issues, and environmental issues, and civil rights issues, gender issues, war and peace issues, women's issues, you know, all these big issues that have been present in American history that, curiously, people have had to fight for, even though we have said, you know, that we were all endowed with these inalienable rights. And that's one of the most surprising things to most people when they stop to think of, and why have so much energy, so much courage, so much persistence had to be given, you know, to just get what we claimed we were given in the first place. It's that group of people. And as I just said, the big problem for me is who to leave out. I mean, I hate to paint you, which is, I mean, not that I hate to paint you. I wanted to paint you. I think your work is amazing, you know, and so articulate and so strong. But there, you know, if I paint you, then I'm probably not going to paint whole lot of other people who do, you know, similar kinds of things. So anyway, that's the problem with this for me.
Well, I can understand that. As I pointed out at our event in Washington, there were quite a number of people in the room who I thought might deserve a portrait themselves. The collection, as you have it already, makes people stop and realize just how many people are doing courageous, principled work to make this a better world. The website is an incredible resource. We're speaking with Robert Shetterly, whose collection of portraits is called Americans Who Tell the Truth. And the website, AmericansWhoTellTheTruth.org, you can click on a portrait and find a biography and resources about the person. Is all of that your writing, your work, Robert?
No. I've had a lot of help doing this. Some of it, I mean, there are essays in a blog at the bottom which are mine, and I choose the quotes to go on the portrait. But many of the, and I'd say most of the biographies have been written by people who volunteered to work with me on this. But one of the most extraordinary things has been, after I started this, how many people came to me and wanted to be part of it because they realized the same thing that I did, that they were feeling this alienation from the country, a lot of anger and grief about where we were going, how we were being misled, how far we were from what we thought we wanted to be. And they recognized that this, the attempt of this project is to honor those people who have, you know, tried to make us be more honest. And so, you know, they offered to do, I mean, people with various skills, and many of them were writers who said, you know, I could write biographies. And so whenever I finish a portrait, I usually ask one of those people to help me write. And my son, Aaron, who's now been working with me for about a year and a half, has, I mean, you mentioned the website. He redesigned the website and a lot of the resources and material that are up there now, and a lot of the educational work that we're doing is because of his dynamic leadership on this. It frees, his work frees me up to talk more, to paint more, and do the kind of stuff that I want.
In looking at the collection of people, it really gives a sense of what a unified movement could look like, because I agree with you that I see these people as all working in the same direction, but they're not always all working closely together. The anti-war movement and the environmental movement and the movement against the prison complex and the movement for better schools, and these are not always integrated efforts. And you see this collection of people side by side in this gallery and in this virtual gallery on your website, and you think, this is what it could look like. And if it looked like this, we could take over. Have you gotten that response from others? Is that of what you're thinking?
That's one of the real points of doing this and the way I'm doing it, and bringing in people from all different backgrounds and ethnicities and issues. We are the people. I mean, the idea of democracy is not an institution, it's a spirit in people. And as long as we are kept separate in our own issues, thinking we have to kind of hoard our issue and our resources and just work on that and not share it with other people, we diminish our ability enormously to not only achieve our own ends, but to help achieve the ends of other groups and with other issues who we want to succeed too. You know, we really have to combine efforts as much as possible and understand that, you know, the problems that we're facing are systemic, and that solving a working problem in Chicago is not all that different than necessarily than solving an educational or civil rights problem in Birmingham. You know, we've got to see these as all part of the same kind of effort. And the more we work together on this stuff, the better. I mean, just the other day I was in a discussion about some people who were arguing with each other over the climate change movement, you know, saying that one side wasn't willing to do enough, they shouldn't just be going to jail and bailing themselves out, they should be going to jail and staying in jail and then not pleading out, but going to court. And, you know, it looked like, you know, they were going to refuse to work together just because of that tactical way about what to do when you commit civil disobedience, how far to go with it. And it seemed absurd to me, you know, to separate ourselves that way. When, well, okay, some of you do one thing and some do the other, but we've got to stand together. So anyway, that's the reason. It's so broad.
You sound a little bit like Walt Whitman, who in fact is one of the portraits, and I think an excellent one. And you have in here indeed people who have worked through courts and people who have worked through nonviolent action in the streets, people who have worked in political parties and people who have worked in schools and people who have worked in efforts to oppose the entire direction our government's been taking. It's a big mix, and there are kids who have taken great steps as young people who have their portraits in the collection, and then there are whistleblowers who for years and years worked in a field that they then turned against and denounced and opposed. So it strikes me that there's an effort to include people who have done some significant action at some moment, not necessarily a judgment on their entire lifespan. And there seems to be a rather heavy tendency to include whistleblowers in the collection. Am I right about that?
Well, certainly recently, yes. In general, there are people who've spent 50 years organizing and then people who've done one thing. And sometimes that one thing has been a thing that has inspired many other people to either take notice or act themselves. And so you're right about that. I mean, I don't have a set of guidelines, prerequisites to say, well, you've got to do this, and then I could maybe think about including you. No, I'm learning as I go along, and when I find somebody with a great story who's done one thing or done a million things, I often want to include them. But recently, the role of whistleblowers has seemed incredibly important, as I'm sure you know, that when Barack Obama was elected the first time, in his campaign, as he was running, he mentioned how important the role of whistleblowers is in our society in keeping our institutions, our corporations, our government honest, and voicing his support. You know, unfortunately, since he's been elected, the direction has been just the opposite. He has been actually prosecuting more whistleblowers than all other presidents combined. And so, but whistleblowing is going on. People with great courage and integrity have been standing up in a variety of places inside the government and inside the corporate world, the media world, and telling the truth and then paying a huge price for it. As a matter of fact, in that room the other night, you mentioned that when we unveiled your portrait, there were people in the room who deserved to be painted. Well, there were some there who had been painted, and I forgot to mention that. One of them was Thomas Drake, the National Security Agency whistleblower, who blew the whistle on unwarranted surveillance at the NSA, as well as all the financial corruption going on, and then was charged under the Espionage Act, facing 35 years in jail for having told the truth about what was going on in our own government agency. That seems to me to be such an important thing to highlight right now. And so I've been working with the Government Accountability Project and the Whistleblower Tour to use the portraits to support their work. You know, like I said before about some of these problems being systemic. I mean, you've got agencies, bureaus, corporations, and all these different things that have such tight control over often a corrupt mechanism that's working. And the person who then comes out and tries to tell the truth really needs to be
well, I certainly consider Thomas Drake a courageous whistleblower and also a previous guest on Talk Nation Radio, and people should go back and listen to that show. So here's my one possible criticism with what I consider one of the most wonderful and magnificent projects anybody's working on, and that is, why just Americans? My list of heroes doesn't stop at a national border, and to my mind, anything that reemphasizes the existence of a national border is, in that regard, insofar as that part of it is not helping things.
David, that's a really good point. And what the idea I started with, though, was because I agree with you. I mean, a lot of the heroes that inspire me today are not necessarily at all Americans. I mean, I think of Arundhati Roy and Vandana Shiva in India, or, you know, the great people in South Africa, and just all over the place. But here's what I was thinking. When I started this, I was thinking, well, who will Americans listen to about their own behavior? And I was thinking, they don't like my feeling is anyway that most Americans don't want to be told how to behave by people from other countries. They resent it. And I thought, well, why not just have these voices come to them then from themselves, from fellow Americans who have pointed out our flaws and suffered often considerably in order to change the behavior of this country. And that was the intent. What I'm hoping is, and actually is what is happening to some extent, is this idea is being picked up in other places. You know, internal to other countries, projects like this are starting. I do a lot of work with the Maxwell School for Citizenship at Syracuse University, which brings in a lot of activists, artists, teachers, et cetera, from North Africa and the Middle East. And several of the people I've been with there have gone back to their countries and tried to get something like this going in their own country, with the same similar idea that people will listen often to their fellow countrymen and women. But on the other hand, I agree with you. The idea about nationalism is not something I want to play up here. It's just a question of who we listen to.
Well, I hear a possibility of a future joint exhibition or virtual online exhibition of everybody who tells the truth, and that
that would
take away my one and only possible criticism. So, how many portraits are there thus far?
I started with the idea that I would paint 50 portraits, and I had never painted a portrait, so I actually never thought I would paint 50 portraits. And the book you mentioned has the first 50 portraits in it. There are now 190 portraits. You know, most of these people you mentioned that looking through the list and not knowing a lot of them, I didn't know them. These are not people I knew. My learning curve about American history and activists and people engaged in trying to make this country be more honest, it's just been vertical. I mean, I've been learning so much and I'm getting so much help. I mean, every day I get calls, emails, letters of people suggesting future portraits, which is fantastic because that's where a lot of the ideas have come from. And it's just, I'm too caught up in it, the excitement of meeting these people, finding the stories, then using all this for education for other people, especially young people in the country. That I don't see stopping for a while, except that it's gotten so big, it's become cumbersome.
Well, I may start using the existing collection as a source for future radio show guests because it is an incredible collection, even just among the living members. Are there any that are your favorites or have elicited your favorite reactions from people?
Whoa, that's interesting. I'm a little wary of talking about favorites. Like, you know, if you ask a parent who's the favorite child.
yes,
but I get. There's some that I use again and again to make certain points. You know, one of them is Sojourner Truth, you know, who was a slave from New York. You know, slavery didn't end in New York and New Jersey until 1827. And what I admire so intensely about Sojourner Truth is once she was freed, and she then took the name Sojourner Truth in response to a voice that came to her and dedicated her life to traveling around this country and preaching abolition and women's rights. You know, when she said that, you know, she looked into the Constitution for her rights and didn't find anything, instead what she found was a little weasel. I use that quote. I mean, that is an exact quote. If you look at the portrait, you could read the exact quote. But the intent was to say something's wrong. Right at the very signing of our Constitution, when we said we were establishing a government and a society based on justice and then only gave it to rich white men, something immediately was wrong. And you know, it was like it was betrayed at the moment it was signed, almost like a religious event. And then it was going to be up to the people themselves to reclaim that language, to breathe honest life into that language. And so I love telling her story and using that quote and then asking people, especially young people, you know, why? You know, here are these men we revere as founding fathers. What was it about their own language that they didn't understand? Or did they understand it perfectly? Then what inhibited them from actually giving rights to everyone? You know, and pretty soon people, after they thought about it a little bit, you know, they get to the idea of wealth, money, power, and being unwilling to give up the privilege they had and their source of wealth, which was often slavery, etc. And then we look at that problem and look at all the other problems in this country that continue. And there we have the nexus of something at the heart of most of our problems, something about money, profit, markets, resources, and power. So, you know, that that portrait helps me to begin to have other people think about what this is all about. You know, if you were to put the, you know, stand back as far as you could from all these works, look at one big issue, you know, that is certainly the issue that ties almost everything together. And so, you know, that's one. And then there's people I've gotten to know very well because of this, who I didn't know before. Like the great artist Lily Ye, the Chinese-American artist in Philadelphia, who uses art to rebuild broken community. I mean, not just make people feel better and have prettier lives because they've got art in it, but actually use the art to rebuild the community so that they actually, it isn't just look better, but they've got jobs, they've got real community. And things change because of the way she uses art. And her example is one that I aspire to. And I've traveled with her. I went to Rwanda to work in the village of survivors of the genocide and work with children there in one of her projects. And I'm just, I mean, she's a person who's just amazing. They all do.
They all do is my response, and I think we could discuss each one for hours. There are dozens, and I think I could spend hours just flipping through the website, AmericansWhoTellTheTruth.org, because of the information and because of the beauty of the portraits. Sadly, we don't have any time left on this radio show, but there's a book. There are full-size prints and small prints and postcards for sale on the website. There are your speaking events. There are traveling exhibits of the portraits and lesson plans for educators there on the website. So I encourage people to get involved. Robert Shetterly, thank you so much for being on Talk Nation Radio.
Oh, thank you, David, and thank you for what you do. It's just marvelous.
One of Shetterly's portraits is of whistleblower Bradley Manning, and RootsAction.org is featuring that portrait as we petition the Norwegian Nobel Committee to give Bradley Manning the Nobel Peace Prize, for which he has been nominated. You can sign the petition at RootsAction.org. No individual has done more to push back against what Martin Luther King Jr. called the madness of militarism than Bradley Manning. The United States is the leading exporter of weapons and itself spends as much preparing for more wars as the rest of the world combined. Manning is the leading actor in opposition to U.S. war making and therefore militarism around the world. What he has done has hurt the cause of violence in a number of other nations as well. And right now, remaining in prison and facing relentless prosecution by the U.S. government, Manning is in need of a Nobel Peace Prize. Alfred Nobel's will left funding for a prize to be awarded to, quote, the person who shall have done the most or the best work for fraternity between nations, for the abolition or reduction of standing armies, and for the holding and promotion of peace congresses. The intent of the prize was to fund this work. As a result of enormous legal expenses, Bradley Manning is in need of that funding, unlike some other Peace Prize recipients. In addition, his secret trial with a potential death sentence could use all the attention that can be shined on it. The people of the United States and the rest of the world have learned more about the intentions of the U.S. government from Bradley Manning than from anyone else. Manning revealed a secret U.S. war in Yemen, U.S. records of massive civilian deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan, video of a U.S. helicopter attack on civilians and their rescuers in Baghdad, and facts about the corruption of numerous governments, including those of the United States, Tunisia, and Egypt. In those last two nations, Manning's revelations contributed to nonviolent, pro-democracy movements. This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. All past shows can be heard at davidswanson.org. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. If you are listening to a nonprofit station, please support that station. Talk Nation Radio is funded by contributors at davidswanson.org. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Until next time.